Hello and welcome to Legally Bond, a podcast presented by the law firm Bondschenek & King. I'm your host, Kim Wolf Price. In this episode, we're speaking with Katie McGraw, an associate in the litigation department practicing out of Bond's Buffalo office. Welcome to the podcast, Katie. It is so nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Kim. I'm very happy to be here.
All right. And I think we're going to talk about how you ran here from court in a minute. So you really had to work to be here. So thank you.
Yes, in the snow, uphill both ways.
Uphill both ways. And the snow, it's not June for those of you who think that's funny. but yeah, it is late March. Anyway, so I mentioned that you're a litigator, but your practice is a bit different than many of the other litigators at the firm. So while you do practice commercial litigation, you also focus your practice on trust and estates litigation. We haven't talked about that yet on the podcast with anyone. So I'd like to focus a bunch of our conversation today on that, what it means to practice in that area, what types of disputes might arise, and how often that type of work takes you to court. So do you think that's a plan for today?
Yes. And I came here from surrogates court on a T&E litigation matter. So it is good timing.
That's great. You are ready to go on this. All right. Thank you. All right. So before we dig deeper into your work as an attorney, it is sort of a tradition on the podcast that we start with a few moments asking the guests a little bit about themselves so that the listeners can get to know you. So if you don't mind, want to talk about whatever you feel like talking about, where you grew up, family, went to law school, undergrad, whatever works for you.
Sure. So I grew up in Syracuse, actually. I was born in Philadelphia, moved to Syracuse when I was five. Grew up there, went to high school there, went to college at SUNY Geneseo. So made my way a little bit west. And then after Geneseo, I went to SUNY Buffalo Law School. So I made it all the way west, public educated through and through. And I graduated SUNY Buffalo Law School in 2020. That time I had already been a summer associate with Bond. So I just continued that, came on as a first year associate in the middle of the pandemic and kind of just hit the ground running and have been here since.
That's great. And you actually were a law student intern with us when the pandemic actually hit, because I met you and then we all went to our separate locations.
Yes, I believe that you offered to take me out to coffee in March of 2020 and you still have not done that. So I will renew that invitation 4 years later in March.
That I will say, I confirm that is correct. Part of it is that Katie's so busy when I do get to Buffalo, it's hard to track her down. But I am coming next month, so I will send you the dates.
How about we go for chicken wings instead of coffee?
I think that's great. Why don't we go to Sidelines or something?
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So a Syracuse native, slowly made your way west to Buffalo. And you did mention the 2022. So that was the year with no graduation and the moving target bar exam, correct? We couldn't decide.
Yes. Yeah. So the bar exam, I don't even remember because it's such a blur, but the bar exam must have been moved at least twice, perhaps three times. So it was a stop and go of studying to the point where, and I shouldn't really admit this, but I just stopped studying because I was so frustrated and yeah. I just wanted to take it. And I said, if I don't pass this time, I'm just not going to be a lawyer.
I think that many of you were in that because it definitely changed multiple times. That was online for the first time ever, and it had really strict rules about quiet and all of those things. And it's already a stressful situation. So
yeah, and I'll say just anecdotally. So it was the first time it was administered online. I think I took it in October of 2020. It might have been the end of September. I don't remember.
It was October.
Okay. So I live in the city of Buffalo. I called the city of Buffalo. It was like non-emergency line. And I just said, hey, I'm taking the bar exam on this day and I live on this street. And I just want to make sure that there's going to be like no construction, you know, whatever. Cause they were doing some work at the time and they're very nice at the city of Buffalo. They're like, oh no, you should be good. It should be quiet. I kid you not. I sign on the first day of the bar exam, not a half an hour later, jackhammering going outside, right outside my apartment on, I think they were digging sewer lines.
Oh my God.
I ran out on my first break barefoot, screaming at them. I was like, you guys aren't supposed to be doing this, all this stuff. They're like, what do you want? We're union employees. We got it. And I was just like, whatever.
So you had the dubious honor of taking the bar exam with jackhammering in the background.
And my cat throwing herself against the door. But yeah.
Yes, I do remember the stories of the cat. I did not know about the jackhammering though. Yeah. Well, made it through and a lawyer passed. All good.
Yes,
I do remember talking to all of you frequently throughout the course of that time. Like, it's going to be okay.
It's a collective generational trauma, I believe, that we all share.
I think it definitely is. I think it is. And we will learn how this plays out in the future. All right. So I did mention that we always start with a background, and I really do appreciate that. I think that the guests appreciate it, and Kate and I do too, because we always learn something new about the lawyers. I did not know about the jackhammering. So, all right. I mentioned you were in the litigation department at Bond. And at Bond, our litigation department primarily focuses on commercial disputes. So defending businesses, schools, manufacturers, colleges, and universities in whatever matters sort of may arise in the course of their business. And you do some of that work, don't you?
Yeah. Yep. I do. A lot of my practice is, you know, what we would consider traditional commercial litigation.
And can you talk a little bit about the types of commercial matters you work on for Bond's clients?
Yeah. I mean, they really run the gambit. I've kind of developed a little bit of a, you know, practice of municipal work, which can be any sort of Article 78 challenge to decision-making, you know, whether it's employment-related or not, land use disputes, zoning issues. I would consider that, you know, maybe it's a subspecies of commercial litigation.
Yeah.
More traditional contract disputes, like you got two big contracting parties suing each other with all sorts of claims going back and forth. Labor and employment litigation isn't really commercial, but I still do a bit of that, actually quite a bit of that. You know, we do False Claims Act cases, whistleblower cases, on both sides of them, plaintiff and defendant.
Right. Which is unusual for us. We don't usually do both sides.
Yeah, and that happens a lot in commercial litigation. You know, both sides, meaning you may represent the, you know, original defendant, but there may be cross claims that you're, you know, you're the plaintiff on. So that's why, you know, I really like commercial litigation, because it's not standard across the board by any means. Every new case that comes up is so different, and it really keeps me on my toes and keeps me constantly learning new areas of law, laws I never heard of before. Yeah. Issues that I didn't think happened in the real world until they did. You know, I would say that there is no standardization across our commercial litigation practice. It really is anything that you could possibly think of, we can do and do, and probably have done.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's in both New York State and federal court, right?
Yeah, really, there's no uniformity. I mean, the land use stuff, like the municipal stuff, is almost exclusively in state court, because you can make an Article 78 challenge under state law. But really, other commercial cases, it's, you know, it's a mixed bag of whether it's state or federal or otherwise even. So,
yeah, which also keeps it interesting, because those aren't uniform either.
Right.
You have to learn a little bit of both. All right. So maybe we should back up just a little bit. When you were in law school, did you want to be a litigator?
No, not at all. So I hate public speaking. I hate the thought of, you know, standing up. What I just did in court this morning would have like caused me to have nightmares in law school. And I didn't, for that reason, you know, I stayed out of trial team. What was it? Moot court, anything related to litigation. I was like, no, that's not for me. My friends were all doing it. They had a blast doing it. I was very comfortable not doing it. And it's funny, because I really wanted to be like a back office transactional tax lawyer who essentially never saw the light of day or had to talk to anybody else. And that did not happen. And it's very funny to me that I ended up where I am. And you're probably going to ask me how I ended up where I am.
Yeah, it's like, was it yourself?
I don't know.
Is it Jim Rooney? Who did this?
No, I think a lot of it was need where the firm was, but a lot of it was the people that I learned from it, you know, from that very first year. So, you know, learning from just really experienced litigators, both on the labor and employment side and onto the traditional litigation department side, learning about how interesting their practices were and how different their day-to-day activities were than somebody that, you know, maybe practices in tax or something. And I just really took a liking to it, to the people that served as my mentors, and then to the work. And I think because I liked it so much, I got to the point where I became comfortable going to court every day, which I would say now I'm in court at least once a week, sometimes two or three times a week. And that's just actual court. So otherwise, I may be doing depositions or signing on online and doing arguments online. So I don't know how I ended up being a litigator, but I'm very glad to have landed where I did.
That's great. Well, we are glad you did as well. I have to say, when I was picking, it was that variety and learning new businesses all the time and new types of disputes that I was like, yeah, this is kind of fun. No 2 days are the same.
Yeah. And I'll say, I can't remember if it was one person that said this to me, and if it was, who, at least one litigator here and probably more, said, the best part about being a litigator is, compared to any other practice, is you get out of the office more than anybody else. And that is so true. Like I was in court this morning. So even just the walk down to court, which on a not snowy day is pleasant, seeing the attorneys that go there, you know, mingling otherwise with people that I wouldn't see in real life, attorneys and judges, and just getting out and getting to meet more people that are members of the bar locally is, I think, one of the best things about being a litigator. And it really does just break up the day. You're not sitting at your desk all day. Yeah. Even if you're arguing on Zoom, you're still having those, you know, connections with people on Zoom. So that is one thing I really like about the job. And that was something that somebody told me to persuade me to be a litigator that I think has rang true.
Yeah, I think that's good. And you will use it someday to persuade someone else. All right. So you get to the firm. We have a little pandemic right around when you arrive. And after the first few months, it's kind of clear you're going to start doing litigation work more and more. So you're defending clients in the civil actions filed in state and federal court. And then the T&E part, will you talk a little bit about trust and estates? And T&E is what we kind of call trust and estates, and that litigation work?
Sure. So that, you know, I personally, I don't know if everybody would agree with me, but I personally consider T&E litigation to just be commercial litigation. I mean, we're generally talking about a lot of money, and whether we're representing, you know, the fiduciary or the bank or the institution or the charity, we're fighting over commercial issues more than personal issues.
Yeah.
That being said, the personal issues are very prevalent in T&E litigation. But as for how I got involved in it, I also don't really know. I think it was a need. I really liked it. So
it's got element. It's got a little tax.
Yeah. So I will say, I think one of my favorite classes in law school was gratuitous transfers, which is like wills and trusts. And all the tax courses that I took, you know, had elements of gratuitous transfers in them as well. And then I also really liked my tax courses. And I just really liked that stuff. It made sense to me. I like that everything, you know, is kind of really old, settled law, as opposed to newly evolving law, which we don't see often. And it's, you know, it's very formal, the way that wills and trusts are established and the rules that apply. So just because I really liked it, I kind of made that known to people here. And what I didn't realize is that traditional T&E practitioners who are doing the transactional work, who are doing the drafting, they don't want to go to court. So for them to hear me say, I like this and I like litigation, that's music to their ears, because I think, and I think this is true, I think since I started working here, one of our T&E partners has not set foot in surrogate's court, because I just go for him. And I love it. And it's a symbiotic relationship for sure.
You love it. It works.
Yeah. So I, you know, and I really like litigating the issues, because you get really familiar with them and you have to know the substantive law. And it's, I find it actually very challenging as compared to some of the other litigation that I do. And for that reason, I really like it. It keeps me intellectually challenged. It keeps me, it keeps me motivated. And I think it makes the job fun.
That's great. And it gets you into a whole different court, because in New York State, that's a different court than New York Supreme or the federal district court, where you might be typically for the other types of commercial litigation. So do you want to talk a little bit about surrogates court?
Yeah. So the one thing too I like about surrogates court is, you're absolutely right, it is a different court. So it's got a different set of rules. It not only does it have a different set of written rules, but it's got a whole different set of unspoken rules. And that is something that people who practice in, here we're in Erie County, but it's true anywhere, you have these little, you know, the judges have little specific idiosyncrasies, and everybody knows that people, I swear, it's like people have assigned seats in surrogates court because people are there every week.
Yeah.
And now I'm, you know, slowly but surely have become one of those people that's there every week. I don't quite sit in the front row yet, but I'm working my way up. I like it in surrogates court because everybody is, first of all, everyone's very collegial. So that is one thing that's true in Buffalo generally, whether it's the federal bar, the state bar, but the surrogates court bar is very collegial. And it's also really small. There's not a lot.
It's got to be much smaller. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. There are not a lot of attorneys in Buffalo that do trust and estate litigation. I know almost all of them. I see them in court all the time. And for that reason, we have really good relationships, even though we're on, you know, sometimes on the same side, sometimes on adverse sides of things. And I think that that makes practicing so much more enjoyable, because it just takes the frustration of nasty opposing counsel out of it. And you know, if you get on a time crunch and you need to ask for an adjournment, it's not going to be a problem whether opposing counsel grants it or the judge does. And just practicing such high stakes, high level litigation, but against and with people that are really professional and, you know, just generally good colleagues to have at in the T&E bar. It just it makes her a really good combination of an enjoyable practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And because the best part is that civil practice, the ability to have colleagues, and you may be on opposite sides of things, but that doesn't mean it's nasty. So that's great.
Yeah. And I will say it's funny. So Judge Mosey out here, she says, you know, we don't have opposing counsel in surrogates court. We have other counsel in surrogates court. And that's, yeah. You know, that's true. I think generally speaking of just how everybody in the T&E bar treats each other as well.
That's great. And I guess we should say that surrogates court, the judge only hears those. It's specialized from the judge's perspective that the judge is a surrogates court judge and this is her area, right?
Yeah, the judge and all of her law clerks and all of her staff, this is what they do. So, and there's a lot of really technical procedure involved, but the substantive law also, like that is their expertise. That is why we have a separate court that handles these matters. It's like family court that handles family court matters, surrogates court handles trust, wills, other related decedent matters.
Right. And so, and for those of you who know, decedents are people who have died. Just say non-literally way of saying that. And it seems to me, because I've never practiced surrogates court, but just from watching other people do it, it seems like there's a lot more going to court and litigation than sometimes in the litigation than in other types of matters we have. Is that true?
I think the main reason that that's true is kind of a boring one. And it's mostly because everything in surrogates court, any application that you make to the court is its own special proceeding, which is like a type of statutory proceeding. Yeah. And for that reason, everything that you do, every request you make, you have to have jurisdiction over everybody that's potentially interested. And the way you get jurisdiction is going to court and having people appear. So there's a lot of times when, you know, you appear and it's not contentious and you're not there to argue something, but you're just there because everybody needed to show up so that the court can grant the relief that you're asking for. But even those appearances, you know, those are good to get, first of all, they're good to get out of the office, but they're also, you know, for example, this morning, I was the last matter to be called. So it was calendar call. There was probably 10 matters on the calendar. We get called last. And I got, you know, so I got to sit there about an hour, which, sorry, is why I'm late, other people arguing their motions and going on their citations and hearing about their issues. And you learn so much just by doing that. Yeah. And I think that that's just so valuable for any level lawyer, but particularly a young lawyer or somebody that's in an associate level for sure. I learned so much just seeing other people argue, how they argue, what their issues are. I know that if I have an issue that comes up that I saw somebody else argue, I might call them and ask them about it. So yeah. I don't remember what the question was, but
I think you answered it very well. You go, okay. This is why. But you mentioned it a little bit, bond, and you may be representing banks or charitable organizations, but in these, there's people and human emotion in this court much more often than we might see in a contract dispute, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And bond represents all sorts of parties in these types of issues. So I have cases that are, you know, we represent the child that was written out of the will and they're fighting for their inheritance, or the aunt that is accused of taking money under a power of attorney or whatever it is, like the bank who is the corporate trustee on the case, who is tasked with managing the trust and distributing the assets. But the human stuff really comes into play. I see it the most in will contests.
Yeah.
So will contest is when, you know, obviously somebody dies and they have a will and you have people fighting over whether or not that will is going to be admitted to probate. So either the will gets admitted and we go by the terms of the will, or we throw it out altogether. And those are most commonly involved children, you know, children fighting over someone that got written out, maybe is going to try to object and say, nope, the will isn't valid. I'm going to get my share in intestacy. Those are very, very emotional, because often if it's in litigation, the siblings do not get along. They cannot be in the same room as each other and they don't want to talk to each other. And it's unfortunate, really, because you see these families get torn apart by these litigations. But at the end of the day, what we do as T&E lawyers is, you know, not in a disrespectful way, but we try to take the emotion out of it and just say, listen, we're talking about money here and we're going to, you know, we're fighting to get you the money that you claim to be entitled to under the will. And that's what we're doing. So it is interesting because when you have a contract dispute, I don't necessarily know that I take an emotional stance on one side or the other, other than, you know, I like to win. And I generally want to believe that my client's right and fight for their interests. But on the human side of the T&E stuff, particularly, it does get really sad because you're talking about, you know, somebody, usually a parent, that dies. And then you have those emotions coupled with siblings not getting along, all fighting over money and personal effects. I've had cases where you have a long list of all of the items in mom and dad's house and you got to distribute them between people. And that is very emotional. So it is definitely, I think, maybe unique to the surrogates court T&E practice, the pure emotional side like that.
I think that's another great reason that the bar is so collegial, because you can't add another level. This is really human pain and drama. You're right. At the crux of it, it's about money or an object or something tangible, but those other feelings over it, you don't want to add more to that. So the bar being so collegial is really important to this being successful.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And the court, the surrogate herself being cognizant of all those issues as well as the cases move through her court.
Yeah, and I'm sure her whole team. It's an important piece of it, because it does happen in trauma. I mean, you'll hear people say all of the time, there's the mourning and then there's the aftermath. And that's often what the T&E litigation comes from. Well, I mentioned when we started talking that you were a transplant to Buffalo. You talked about how you slowly moved there. But I want to add that I think you're a really committed member of the Buffalo community. You're active, not just, you know, at our firm and for our clients. You're involved in other ways. So do you want to talk about any of your community involvement?
Yeah, sure. I think I totally am a implant in Buffalo to stay, I think, to my parents' dismay, but they are in Syracuse, which they love. But I bought a house here a little while ago in the Elmwood Village, which is a beautiful neighborhood in the city of Buffalo. And I like to stay involved in the community as much as I can. I just recently rotated off the board of Open Buffalo, which is a nonprofit that focuses attention to, you know, equality and justice matters on the east side of Buffalo, but the city of Buffalo generally. And, I always actually look for ways to get more involved in the city of Buffalo and, you know, both in the legal and non-legal realms. But I absolutely am a Buffalo. I would not say native, because I think there would be objections to that, but I am a Buffalonian.
I love that. And I know you do volunteering at your law school at UB Law, and you've worked on projects with them as well. And I'm going to have to assume you're a Bills fan now.
Yeah. So hopefully my parents, who are from Philadelphia, do not listen to this podcast, but I am classifying myself as a Bills fan.
We got it on record here first. Is that what you're saying?
They are Eagles fans. So we were really hoping for a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl this year, but that did not happen. Yes, I'm a Bills fan. I would say I'm a Sabres fan. I really like going to the Bisons games, the AAA team, all sorts of stuff out here. I mean, that's the thing about Buffalo, is not unlike Syracuse, but there's more to do, I find. And it's particularly in the neighborhood I live in. It's just, it's a great place to live. There is a reason we are called the City of Good Neighbors. I find that to be very true. In fact, Peter Wittenberg, who is a member in our Buffalo office, is my literal across the street neighbor.
I love that. And many other folks are close enough by, like Aaron Torsello, correct?
Yes. I spent Christmas Eve at her house during the 2022 blizzard.
Yes. Because to be a true Buffalonian, you must have lived through something like that.
Oh, yeah. That was wild.
That's something that I think people don't understand, even though from the age of 5, you were in Syracuse. We just don't have blizzards like that.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, certainly Syracuse gets its fair share, sometimes more than its fair share of snow. Buffalo too. The snow doesn't bother me. I like the snow. I like lake effect snow. That blizzard was, it really was once in a lifetime. It was scary, and it was, I was very lucky not to lose power, but that was something that I have never seen before.
Yeah.
In Syracuse or Buffalo.
It's wild and crazy, but it's part of our charm at the same time. We lived through it. It has tragedy, which is awful, but you said City of Good Neighbors and people pulled together, I think, really pretty amazingly during that.
Yes, absolutely. Christmas Day, everyone was out shoveling each other's sidewalks and walking around and dogs running everywhere because there were no cars.
That's right. Everyone was free and roaming the streets. Yeah. Well, here's to, you know, a better finale for Buffalo Bills in the next season.
Oh, yes.
Let's be at the Super Bowl. I'm ready.
Oh, everybody else here too.
All right. Well, thanks, Katie, for joining us today. It's always great to catch up with you, learn more about what you're working on doing. I owe you coffee and I will send you dates. And I hope you'll come back to the podcast again to talk about litigation that you're working on.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much, Kim. Thanks for having me. And I think we're going to do chicken wings, not coffee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Chicken wings. I'm in. All right. Thanks, Katie. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Legally Bond. If you're listening and have any questions for me, want to hear from someone at the firm, or have a suggestion for a future topic, please email us at legallybond@bsk.com. Also, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Legally Bond wherever podcasts are downloaded. Until our next talk, be well.
Bond, Shenick, and King has prepared this communication to present only general information. This is not intended as legal advice, nor should you consider it as such. You should not act or decline to act based upon the contents. While we try to make sure that the information is complete and accurate, laws can change quickly. You should always formally engage a lawyer of your choosing before taking actions which have legal consequences. For information about our communication, firm, practice areas, and attorneys, visit our website, bsk.com. This is attorney advertising.